I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my sheep, and mine know me. That beautiful little verse that we sang in the Alleluia that follows directly upon what Jesus said in today's gospel is the whole theme for today's Mass. Right? At the very beginning prayer, we already prayed that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before. In the closing prayer, the prayer after communion, we're going to say, look upon your flock, kind shepherd, and be pleased to settle in eternal pastures the sheep you have redeemed by the precious blood of your Son. Of course, in the psalm, we proclaim together, we sing out, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. All of this centers on this one image of the Lord as our Good Shepherd. And that's why this Sunday traditionally has been called Good Shepherd Sunday. It's the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. Now, of course, what is a vocation? Well, a vocation is a call, right? Voice, vocation, vocal cords, all of that has the same root because it's a personal call. Someone using their voice to call us by name into ever more abundant life. Every one of us has a vocation that the Good Shepherd has given us. As he says, he knows his sheep. He knows the depths of our hearts. Every nook and cranny of our being, even those desires that we don't yet know, those that we're not even aware of because we're just kind of at the surface level desires, those deeper ones, those ones that will actually fulfill us, he already knows those because he put those there. Right? He made each of us for a noble, grand, and beautiful purpose. And his vocation is his invitation for us to fulfill that purpose, to live with meaning, to have that zest for life that only those who know they're doing the will of God have. Today is our day to reflect on our own lives. Am I doing God's will? It's not always spectacular. In fact, usually in the day-to-day living out of it, it's pretty mundane. But there's a sweetness to it because you know that the one that loves you most has asked you to do this for him. So we reflect on how are we personally listening to his voice call us, and then living that out in our lives. But then we also spend this day praying that more people heed his call, that more people learn to attune their ears to the voice of the shepherd. And so our first question that we ask ourselves is, are my ears attuned to the voice of God, my good shepherd? Or is his voice the voice of a stranger? Because that is the contrast that our Lord makes in today's gospel. He says that the sheep will follow the voice of their shepherd because they know it, but they will not follow the voice of a stranger. So we have to ask ourselves that tough question. Do I do everything in my life to be able to attune my ears to recognize the voice of the one who loves me most? Or is his voice the voice of a stranger? Because I never put the time into learning how to recognize that voice. Because it's not automatic. Very often, we're so mad at God because of his supposed silence. We're so mad that he hasn't spoken to us in a way that we've recognized. But that can be flipped on us so easily. What am I doing in order to attune my ears to his voice? If I haven't learned to recognize his voice among all the sounds in the world, among the chaos that's around me and really within me as well, how am I supposed to recognize him when he's speaking? So how do we attune our ears to the voice of the Lord? How do we learn to recognize him when he speaks as he speaks in many and mysterious and beautiful ways? Well, first we recall what we spoke of last week. Last week, we mentioned that our hearts were burning as our Lord revealed the scriptures to us. And so we committed ourselves to finally diving into the scriptures a little bit more, to using resources at hand like form.org or whatever. But above all, to just prayerfully engage the scriptural text, to read the Gospel of Luke and then the Acts of the Apostles. And it could be that we had zeal in the beginning and we said, yeah, I'm totally going to do this. And four verses in, the kids started fighting with each other and we closed the book. And now a week later, we realized, ooh, I never opened that book again, did I? Well, that's one of the most beautiful ways that we attune our ears to hear the voice of the Lord is to read the text through which He reveals Himself in a most profound way. To get to know Him in, above all, in the Gospels. But then to know how He worked all throughout salvation history. By really diving into the Old Testament too and seeing this patient and loving God who never gives up on His people. So one beautiful way to attune our ears to the voice of the Good Shepherd who calls us to greatness is by engaging sacred scripture every day. But the second and equally important way is to just partition a little bit of time each day. To just sit silently with the Lord. To just sit with Him like you would with a good friend. Or like maybe you've seen a couple that's been together for 50, 60 years. And yeah, they bicker and they have their little fights. But then there are also other times where they just sit in each other's presence. And they realize they don't have to say anything because the love between them says it all. That's the type of sitting with the Lord that prayer is. To sit with Him, to share with Him what's on our hearts. What worries are swirling about, but also what hopes are there. To tell Him about our day and then to just sit in silence with Him. And so engaging God in Scripture and in prayer are two ways that we attune our ears to be able to recognize His voice among all the sound, all the chaos in the world and within our own selves. But why? Why do we need to hear His voice? Why? Because life is tough. Like life is very hard to know what we should be doing at any given time. To know how to navigate the vast amount of gray area in our lives. That's not easy. We need a guide. We need a shepherd. We need someone who's going to get us through tough times. We need someone who is going to be able to be there with us during the good times too, to be our companion in the good and in the bad. We need to know that there's one who loves us through thick and thin. We need that shepherd with us to mend our injuries when we get hurt. To rejoice with us when all is well. To guide us and help us to grow. To let us achieve that purpose for which we were created. To not settle for mediocrity, but to strive for greatness. For all of that, we need a shepherd. We need the one who is trustworthy, not the one who is a thief, who has come to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. That's what the evil one is. Right? He comes in and tries to parade as the shepherd. He tries to say, no, follow me. Trust me, just look out for number one. Look out for yourself, that'll be great. Don't you worry, it's going to be totally fine. He whispers these lies to us about ourselves and about God. Now, unless through engaging Scripture and through our personal prayer, we've attuned our voice to recognize the true good shepherd's voice, or attuned our ears to recognize the true good shepherd's voice, we might buy into some of those lies. And then that devil pounces. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to slaughter our innocence. And he wants to destroy our relationship with the Lord and all of our other relationships. And if you want proof positive of that, just look at the world. Just look at how many destroyed relationships there are there. You don't even have to look that far. Every one of us can just look in our own families and see the fruits of that evil one. That rotten fruit of him sowing selfishness. Of him who is our false shepherd. Trying to get us to just look out for number one and then realizing, yeah, my joy's been stolen, my innocence slaughtered, and my relationships destroyed. And yet the good shepherd, he has the victory. And so even if we recognize all of that in our lives, we ask the good shepherd to make things right, and he does. He does. He restores our innocence. He gives us back our joy, and he can even resurrect dead relationships. So we strive to follow that good shepherd. First and foremost, by learning how to recognize his voice through scripture and through prayer. Then, when we recognize his voice, we ask for the grace of the courage to do what he's calling us to do. This period of quarantine is an unsettling time. A lot of people, even with their jobs, their careers, their schooling, it's kind of been thrown up in the air. It's difficult. I don't want to downplay that for a second. But it might also be an opportunity for reflection. If that which I was doing has been turned upside down, or the pause button has been pushed on it, I have the opportunity to finally maybe ask that question that I've never asked, which is, wait a second, what do you want me to do? And is this it? Or are you right now in your mercy giving me the opportunity to change paths? Are you right now having me rethink if I'm doing your will or just my own? Now, those two don't have to be in conflict, right? Because God desires our happiness, and so what he calls us to is going to be what actually corresponds to the deepest desire of our hearts. But I think every single one of us can say, oh yeah, this is what I want most, but this is what I'm going to settle for. Instead of asking God, Lord, what is the deepest desire of my heart, and how, in following your will, can that be fulfilled? That's what a vocation is. So we ask ourselves that question. We ask God first the grace to recognize his voice, but then we ask him, okay, now speak to me. Use that voice and call me to something great. Give me the courage to follow your will. That could be many different things. I know. This isn't just like a I hope or there's some wishful thinking. No. I know without a doubt that God is calling more people to the priesthood and the religious life than our answering. I know that for a fact. But how are they to answer with courageous trust if we're not there to help them, to encourage them, to let them know that, like, yeah, of your own you can't do this, but with the grace of God you can do it so well. It's the same for those couples that are terrified of having a child or having another child because they think, oh no, I just can't do that. I just don't have the strength. I don't have the means. I don't have the emotional bandwidth, whatever. But if God's calling them to it, then not only will they be capable of it, but they will find joy in it. Or that couple that maybe has just been dragging their feet about finally getting the sacrament of holy matrimony. There's this thought of like, oh, I just don't know. It's just, that's a big commitment. And there's this doubt as to whether or not we can do it. But if God's calling us to it, then not only can we do it, but we will find the most abundant joy in doing it. Because God gives us the secret of vocation here at the very end of the gospel. He says, I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's at the heart of every call that God has ever placed in the heart of any man or woman. It's so that that man or that woman can have life and have it more abundantly. And so if he's calling you to the priesthood, nothing will make you happier. If he's calling you to religious life, nothing will satisfy you more deeply. If he's calling you to marriage, nothing will be a surer path to heaven than that for you. If he's calling you to this career or to that one. If he's calling you to follow him in this radical way or this other one. No matter what, he is trustworthy, for he is our good shepherd. He is a good shepherd who actually lays down his own life for his sheep. Now on this world day of prayer for vocations, I want to finish by asking you all to pray. That every single person be able to courageously open themselves up to the will of God, knowing that the God who calls is eminently trustworthy. But in particular, pray for more holy vocations to the priesthood. So right now, we're living in a very strange time. We don't have public masses. You know when else we're not going to have public masses? When we don't have priests. Or when we have one priest for every 10, 20,000 Catholics. That's going to be a time that's very difficult. And if people aren't being encouraged to follow the will of God with boldness, it's just going to be the case. So if right now you're yearning for the sacraments, if right now you're saying, oh, I just wish that I could gather for Mass at my home parish, use that yearning, use that desire, use even that frustration, and let it be fuel for prayer for vocations, that God may raise up holy priests, that men may be able to know the voice of the Good Shepherd, and in courageously following that Good Shepherd, may be able to share in his work of shepherding his holy people. So today we pray, first for ourselves, that we may follow this Good Shepherd with all that's in us, that we may learn to recognize his voice and then follow his will. And then we pray that that Good Shepherd may send us shepherds that will be good to us as well.